Open your Bibles, if you will, to John chapter 21, to John chapter 21. Well, thank God I'm saved and know it. Appreciate you being in the sanctuary tonight. I pray seated in order and in the will of God. Appreciate the opportunity to preach in this place and work in this meeting this week. Now, I'm gonna have camp meeting, and I hope you'll have it with me. I'm a-fixing to get involved the best I can for God, and I hope you'll come along with you. Some of you are ready. I pray you are. You may find out after the meeting starts you ain't as ready as you thought you were. But I pray you'll get something this week to help your soul. I'm sure if you come empty of all the wickedness that's been in your heart, that God will put something in you that'll take you on down the road. Read with me, if you will, from verse number 1. I believe I'll ask you to stand as I read the Word of God. After these things, Jesus showed Himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise He showed Himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Galilee in Cana in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee and two other of His disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. And when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said unto them, Children, have you any meat? They answered Him, No. And He said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes.
Amen.
Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153, and for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask Him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. You may be seated. I want to preach for a little while, if the Holy Ghost will help me and trust me, on the voice on the shore. Now, I'm not talking about Nashville or Murfreesboro or Hammond, but I'm talking about the voice of God Almighty. I'm not talking about what Mom and Daddy said, but I'm talking about Jesus Christ. Now, it appears from the context of the Scripture that these disciples got their last orders when Jesus said, Go to a mountain and wait for me there.
Yeah.
And I don't know where the other five disciples were, but thank God they weren't fishing. Not much good said about them. They might have been over yonder on the mountain waiting for God. And if God will help me tonight, I want to get close to your heart. and to get you to get a hold of something, that in this day we are paying attention 99% of the time to the wrong voice. And we need again, God help us again, to turn our ears toward the Savior and listen for His voice. Now here's about the last miracle between resurrection and ascension. Here's also, it looks like Jesus is going to deal with these disciples in the same manner that He'll deal with them after He's ascended from what seems like a distance. And they're going to have to get accustomed to operating by the leadership of the Holy Spirit when God in body is not around. Amen. Now I want you to look at the situation. These disciples thought it was all over. I want to say I've been right there. When it looked like the sun wouldn't shine anymore, it looked like everybody that knowed anything about God had picked up and left me a sitting. And boys, I'll tell you, the temptation's on. I'd say, well, maybe it's not worth it. Maybe I want to say tonight, I have no desire to go back to former things and get entangled with the cares of the world. Thank God I've got my orders. Not very long ago, the young preacher called me and said, I've got to talk to you. He's 500 miles away. I said, well, I'll be in Columbia, South Carolina on such a date. And he said, I'll make it. It'll be a long drive for me. He is on the coast almost in South Carolina. And he said, I'll be there on a certain night. And he came and we went aside. And he said, preacher, I've got an offer from a bigger church, a nicer church, a better church. And he said, it's close to home. And he said, I want to go. And I want him to tell me if I ought to go or if I ought to stay. And I said, I believe I can. I said, I was in the service. And I said, we'd finished basic training. I'd went to Fort Gordon, Georgia, got military police training. We had about a week or so left. In come the rumor, we're going to Germany. I'd stand guard at the wall. Then the next day or the same day, we got another rumor came in, said we're going to South Africa. And the next day, a rumor came in, said we're going to Korea. The Chinese are coming back down again across the 38th parallel. And we began to pack our duffel bags and get our shoes. We didn't know where we was going. But lo and behold, long towards sundown, the sergeant came in. And I met him at the door. And I said, Sergeant, when are we leaving? And he said, what are you talking about? And I said, to come in, told us we was going to Germany. And I said, somebody else said South Africa. And somebody else said Korea. He said, soldier, what'd your last order say? And I said, sergeant, it said to come here and stay till I got further orders. He said, shut your mouth and get back in there. Take your clothes out of your duffel bag and shine your shoes. Headquarters will let you know when you need to make a move. Thank God. I'm afraid there's too much shifting around when we ought to be awaiting for orders from headquarters. Woo! Hallelujah! I'm glad there's a God in heaven that's able to tell His young'uns what to do. Now here are these seven disciples. They've always got a leader when they want to pull off. And I just can't help it, ladies. But I kind of think that Peter's wife said, you ought to quit and go on fishing. He said, I believe I will. But it's strange that folk are never satisfied to leave God by themselves. They always want to take somebody with them. when they get away from God, if they're going to leave the church, if they're going to walk out on the preacher. Hey, mister, if you're going to go sideways on God and head down yonder in the bushes somewhere, for God's sakes, leave your family up the house of God. Go on out yonder and trash out. But don't take them youngins and your wife away from God. Amen. Now, it looks like from the scripture that they already had that motor running on that boat. Peter said, I go fishing. And they all said they didn't have to have no business meetings. They always, even when the Lord, they have business meetings. Baptists have business meetings over everything, except when they're going to go out yonder and have a picnic. They'll just all say, let's go. But if they're going to spend a dollar on church stuff, they'll have to argue and fast for a month and decide whether it's right or not. Well, I just thought I'd throw that in there. And they said in there, and immediately they went on the boat. Somebody, it looks like they'd been stashing groceries in there. Didn't have to go back and say they made up provisions up for a few hours and got the motor running, got it all right. Hey, for years now, for 3 years or 3.5 years, they're supposed to be off them boats and away, but it looked like somebody'd been down there working on the boat and keeping groceries on just in case what they was doing didn't work out. I won't tell you, you get hooked, you can just walk away. A great God, if the Lord leads you, go with God. Wave goodbye out of what you've been doing. He'll stay with you. God called me to preach, and I was working in Fort Knox. And they put me on a beer truck. And I said, I can't handle that. And so I went up front and signed out. I didn't even pray about it. Just went up front and signed out. Headed out across the railroad tracks. And boy, the devil got on me. Said that little old young'un playing down yonder on the floor, I'll starve to death just because you're a smart aleck. It wouldn't hurt you to got on the beer truck. You ain't going to drink no beer. All you're going to do is just take it in. And that somebody else will haul it if you don't. And I'll tell you what, your kid's going to go naked. And it'll do without food. And I said, Lord, what am I going to do? And the Holy Ghost whispered in my heart and said, we'll try to think of something. Evidently, we think God's crippled. That he's not able. Where God guides, he does provide. He may not drive you around in a Cadillac car, but he'll give you what you need if you'll just stay with God. I'm glad, thank God, he's taking care of me. Thank God, about 3/4 of the clothes I got on, somebody give me. A car I'm driving, the one I drove for this, somebody give me. About every pair of shoes I've got, somebody give me. Somebody said, you're a bum, call it what you want to, but I'm doing pretty good. I'm a preaching, thank God. I'm doing what God wants me to do, and I'm not fixing to go fishing. Are you hearing me? Well, you say, well, bless God. I've signed up with Jesus, and I'll never falter. You're a fool. If God ever walks off and leaves it up to you, you'll be gone tomorrow. If you don't have the help of a good God, you'll be a lost ball in highway. You better not jump on these boys too tough. Until you've lived in heartache and hardship and trouble a while. Boy, everything they stood for looked like it is gone. They thought Jesus was going to be king. It don't always work out. Boys, I used to say, you get saved and get God in your heart. Won't never have to worry about you anymore. And it does make a difference. But I'm going to tell you, when God saves you, he don't save the flesh. And you're still walking around in it. And you'll make some mistakes once in a while. But I want to tell you, the voice, the man on the shore, is watching what you're doing. Yeah. See them fellas out on the boat. I launched her out into the deep. Now, we're talking about fishermen here. We're not talking about folks who raise cattle. We're talking about boys that's been fishing before. That is their livelihood. It's what a lot of them done for a living. But if the Scripture never had said anything else about their trip, I'd have known they didn't catch nothing. God wasn't in what they was doing. Now, I believe that the King James Bible is infallible. I believe that what it says, that's exactly what it means. But let me slip this in. I don't believe that the Bible meant they didn't catch anything. I believe it meant they didn't catch no fish. Now, here's why I mean. I believe they caught some water dogs, some old terrapins and old green frogs. I've been out there in some revivals out of the will of God. And scripturally, as far as getting people born again, we didn't catch anything. But we did get a few water dogs. A few greenback frogs and a few old terrapins. No God around, and the music get high, and they get emotional, and they get all wrought up, and some folks come in the altar and make some decisions. But I want you to know, that ain't fish. Amen. I wouldn't have God ever preacher here tonight would understand everyone you take down the Roman road. Don't get God. I want to tell you, you can get them all rolled up and get a host in the altar, but that don't mean they'll get in the net. Thank God we're going to have the leadership of the Holy Ghost. Now, the Bible don't say it, but I kind of believe this is right. Well, there's no reason for them not to catch anything. It just didn't happen that way. God knew where they was going. He knew all about this fishing trip before the world ever began. And I believe that night when he missed them fellas, that he walked over back the lake and said, "Hey, you fishes, head for the rocks and the stumps. There's some boys coming out of the will of God, and I don't want them to catch anything." And in them meetings when it looked like God said it ain't going to work.
Amen.
See them boys laboring, throw them nets out in hour after hour after hour. Fishing over there. I wonder why they talk about fishermen being liars. I'm going to tell you, I know some men that are Baptist preachers. They say they're preachers. They say they've been saved. But you can ask them how many they caught last Sunday, and they'll lie to you. Me and a friend was on the lake one day, and there's a drunk over in the next boat. And we said, "How many have you got?" He said, "When I get this and two more, I'll have three." A lot of Baptist churches are just as bad. They want to get their name in the next publication that comes out that they've caught more fish than the boat down the road. They'll do anything to get the numbers. But I want to tell you tonight, if God ain't in the boat, you're not going to catch anything. Boy, I ain't very smart, but I'm glad I know that much. I can hear that old... I've been out on boats a lot. I can hear that old boat, that rig in the creaking. They've been all night. Old Peter's not been away from God but just a few hours, and he's already got his clothes off. There's a lot of Baptist folk. There's a lot of Baptist folk will come right in the house of God and be half-clothed. Now, that's not a bit of use you looking at me that way. It ain't going to change me a bit. I've been a preaching 36 years running up and down these roads, and I've been shot at and spit on, and I started out preaching to a groundhog, and you're not going to bother me. I'm going to preach the Word of God. It's a shame and a disgrace what goes on in our Baptist churches on Sunday morning. I told the congregation over yonder in Georgia, Augusta, Georgia, I said, some of you ladies in here, some of your mammies would see you like you're dressed in the house of God. They'd get a limb and whip you all the way back down to Atlanta. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, I appreciate it. Thank God. I say, we need to stay right here. We're going to catch fish. You say, Peter didn't care. That is just the custom. How come he got dressed when he heard the Lord is coming back? When they said it's the Lord, he got his clothes on. I don't know how long that the Lord had been standing out yonder watching them boys. As long as he's been watching you.
Bless him, Lord.
Fishing out the will of God. No doubt I think the tears running down the Lord's face. And said, I thought I'd taught them that they love me more than these. Said, I skip Peter off by himself. I'm going to ask you. Laying around that boat, absolutely caught nothing in defeat. Been there. I want to tell you, the voice of God rung out over that water. See, he made that water, made the tree that made that boat. Elder! Have you any mate? He didn't say how many rode the bus this morning. He didn't say, did you literate your sermon just right on Sunday? Did you preach a Mother's Day message on Mother's Day and a Father's Day message on Father's Day? He said, have you any meat? Have you caught anything? We'll answer that voice one of these days. Preachers, you hear this old hillbilly preacher tonight. We've let the hierarchy and churchdom water. Years about how important God's my time ain't worth nothing at all, but God's time is precious. I don't want to spend no time telling jokes and talking about ball games and hay rides. I want to spend the rest of my time preaching the Word of God. I want to have some meat when the Lord comes a checking on me. We tried every gimmick under the sun. Thank God I've never been guilty of that. Meat. I want to say to you preachers that don't have many years under your belt, forget about all that junk off yonder. Find you a place to pray.
Amen.
I was down yonder in Mississippi near Myrtle in a revival meeting. The night came for the services to be over. We was eating a bite, and some young preachers came, about five, and sat down at my table and said, we want to talk to you and counsel with you. I said, all right. They said, we won't know how to become preachers. And I said, well, what do you got, boys? Well, one of them said, I can read the Greek real good. And he said, I can read Hebrew some, and I'm working on it every day. Another fellow said, I'm good with young people. He said, I'll play ball with them. And he said, they'll just come to me. Another one said, I sing. He said, I've got a good voice. And he said, I can sing, and folk like to hear me sing. I believe that'll help me. And they went on. They got on. They said, tell us, preacher, what to do. I said, boys, take all that and throw it off into hell. Get you an old King James Bible and a dictionary. Go off down and live in the woods about a month at a time. And pray 3 or 4 hours a day and cry and beg God for power. I said, you come back out of the woods with God dripping off of you and pick up whatever God will let you pick up and go with it. Have you any meat? I was on a plane from Houston to New Orleans. hold a meeting just out in the edge of Mississippi. For some reason, when I get on a plane, they'll mess my ticket up. They've done it 4 or 5 times and put me in first class. I don't know why the God's wanting something from first class to rub off on me or what. Invariably, one either going or coming, they'll put me on first class. Boy, they some birds that ride up there. But most of them are successful. They don't have to brag. Set me down on the front seat. Some fella pushed his way through and sat down next to the window. We got off of the runway and into the sky and leveled off. Took our seat belts loose and I said, "Sir, what do you do for a living?" He said, "I own 2 TV stations, news stations, one in Houston, one in New Orleans, and I travel back and forth as it suits me to check on them, correct any mistakes. Whatever course they're on, if it's wrong, I straighten it out." And he said, "What do you do?" And I told him the other night up yonder in the mountains, says, "I found out that it aggravates everybody so bad." I said, "I'm a hellfire and brimstone Baptist preacher." He began to tell me about his accomplishments. Thought, well, here I am, a nobody. I said, "I'll tell him about how many states I've preached in and how many revivals I have a year and how many churches I've pastored." But then I heard a voice from the shore that said, "Reckon you could just tell him about me." Me down, I cried and I couldn't help it. Way yonder in the blue, I said, "Sir, have you ever considered Almighty God?" And he said, "No, but I need to." And I said, "What do you lean to?" And he said, "The Jewish religion." And I said, "Boy, that's what a coincidence." I said, "My best friend's a Jew." I cried and said, "Sir, could I pray for you?" And he bowed his head and said, "I wish you would." Now, I'm not going to brag and tell you that 35,000 feet, I won him to God. But when I got off, he had trouble getting his luggage. Somewhere down the road, maybe God will let me know that fella got in. Hey, have you got any meat? Right in the midst of this number crazy world, boys, when we rolled up with every gimmick in the book, have you any meat?
Amen.
You preachers, quit going for numbers. Go for God.
Amen.
The ghost ain't in what you're doing. You'll have to answer him one of these days. Children! Have you any meat? Boy, I appreciate them being honest. They didn't say, "We had 200 to come down the aisle this morning to make decisions. Tell him about the water dogs and the greenback frogs." But they answered him, "No." Know who he was? Do you reckon that you could just quit listening to the voice on the shore for a while and forget what he sounds like when he talks?
Bless him.
Just forgot. We're living in an age today where there's very little God in the church.
Amen.
I'm telling you the truth. It looks like folks are listening to everything but the voice of God.
Amen.
Many of our Baptist churches, the women are running the show. Oh, you know I'm telling you what's right. Now, you women, thank God for you. I appreciate your contribution to what goes on at the house of God. Thank God for spiritual ladies. But the plan of God's got her laid out, and we better stay with this Bible. Or we'll not catch anything.
Amen.
Oh, Boy, it'd be good to some of you preachers tonight. I get on preaching. Get down here in these shavings or after the man of God gets done preaching tonight, you run down here and say, "No, Lord. I've been making a sham of things down through the years. I've been putting on a good show, but I have no meat, Lord." Some of you mamas that used to dress right and live right and sing your gospel songs around the house and work with your young'uns and back your husbands, you've slipped a long way from what's right.
Amen.
Some of you don't know why your young'uns and grand young'uns, if it goes on like it's going, they'll wind up in hell. I'd get in these shavings and say, "God, I want to hear from the voice on the shore and pay attention again to the voice of my God."
Amen.
So on the shore, they still didn't know who it was. Cast your nets on the right side. Fine. No complaining from the boat. They had tried everything else. They still didn't know it was the Lord. It's bad when a church will try everything that the hierarchy tells them to do without even knowing what God's in or not.
Amen. Amen.
But they cast the net on the right side. I believe Jesus said, "All you fishes, get in." Now, I've been in a few of them meetings too.
Yes, sir. Amen.
God spoke and folks got in.
Yes, amen.
Boy, don't it make a difference.
Amen.
I told them the other day down yonder in North Carolina, we was having a meeting. Lord, there's folks coming from everywhere. No place to park folk, no place to sit folks in the house of God. Not been 20 years ago, not been 10. And getting saved, and that Lord, they'd go to coming. Church started at 7:30. They'd get there at 5:30, that they could get a seat and get a parking place. See, I believe 25 folk that I know about got saved. Them's I know about that genuinely got born again. I'm not talking about making a decision, deciding to live better. I'm talking about got born again, and there's evidence that they did get born again. And one night I was sitting there. And I sat along about here, about 5 minutes to starting time, and the congregation fell silent. I knew something unusual was going on. I turned, and there's two fellas, I won't say men, but there's two fellas that come down the aisle on my right, standing about 4 seats back, and had hair, long blonde hair down along here, and had their shirt unbuttoned. I'm not sure about a necklace, and I don't think they had earrings on. They might have had a necklace on, but I don't believe they had earrings, and they're standing looking for a seat. And just over here in what was the Sunday school room when they closed the doors, and there's 4 or 5 rows of seats there, and there just happened to be 2 seats on the front. Just happened to be. Them young fellas came and sat down on that front row. They found out later they came to laugh and scorn. The choir was already assembled. They couldn't come down. They'd just seat themselves behind me. And when they got on singing, they had to sit there. There's such a crowd. And the choir sings, and it got on. You know what I'm talking about? I said it got on when the choir got to singing. And they turned it over to me to preach. And the you preachers will understand what I'm talking about. When I made this little old turn right here, I felt that love flutter over me. And I knew that the God that called me to preach was fixing to enlarge the gift of to preach the Word of God and do business through this form of clay by to touch the hearts of sinners and backsliders. And the Holy Ghost turned me loose. And when I finished preaching, one of them boys ran around his head up under that communion table and began to cry out to God and fling his head. The other done that got so washed out on dope. He is in a bad shape, but he didn't know what to do. He's confused. And that boy, I prayed. He didn't say, "Read to me." He's a doing business in yonder's world with the God of heaven. I want to tell you tonight, there's a whole lot of times you ought to leave sinners alone. Let them deal with God. Let God deal with them. Amen. The same Holy Ghost that gets them under conviction can get them up underneath the cross. He'll do business with them.
Yes,
That young man got born again. He got in. Service was over. I just stood here exhausted. They had prayed to them sinners. I don't know how many got saved. I was standing here and he come up here and stood beside me. I'd move, he'd move. I'd come over here, he'd come over here. His buddy was trying to counsel with the pastor and he still never got it straight. What's the matter with him? What do he need to do? I said, son, what's the matter with you? He slung that head and said, I don't know. I don't understand it all, but I know one thing. This stuff here's got to go. Amen. Amen. Get born again. You don't have to preach to them much about what's right. I wonder about these folks that don't know how to dress and act at the house of God. There's something mighty wrong. Brother, when God saved me, when I got saved, got called to preach, I'd never heard a man of God get down and call sin the name. Raised up in a Southern Baptist church that just about 3/4 liberal and modern. And by the grace and the miracle of God, I got born again. God called me to preach. And Lord, I got to preaching on things. And they got to talking about me. And but I got off down here in the mountains and down here in Georgia, and I found out them fellas was preaching on what I was preaching on. You say, preacher, how'd you know to preach on it? I got born again. Amen. And the Word of God spoke to my heart. And the Holy Ghost let me know that I was on His side. I ought to fight the other side. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Amen. Well, fellas, you can't tell which side they're on. Wow. They may be around and play with sin so much, they may be on the devil's side.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
God help us. I don't make a stand.
Right. Yes, sir.
Boy, it's so wet and wet out there. Jesus said, all you fishes get in. Lord, they couldn't bring her to land. For some strange reason, the Word of God wanted it recorded that all them fish got caught and the net didn't break. Something that the Holy Ghost ordered it recorded in this King James Bible that even though it is full of fish, that the net didn't break. Now, in them days, now I'm not implying that we keep sinners, keep saved people saved. We do not. But I do want to say this. In them days, they didn't tie them knots by machines. Individuals tied them knots. And I wonder if you'd have been tying knots if the net had broke. Off yonder somewhere, I rebelled against the man of God and won't come to Sunday school, drag in about 5 minutes after 11. And then if they don't do right, you're the first one to make a fuss about it.
Right.
Amen. Hallelujah. I want to tell you, sinners know about where you are. Sinners know what you're doing. Boy, I had some folks in my church, too, a man and lady, and they had about 7 youngins. And when they'd come in, mom and dad would be holding hands. They'd go out of a day, take them youngins and walk down that sidewalk. They was holding hands and talking to one another and get in their car and head down the road. One day I didn't know one of them youngins hadn't left with them, was standing there close to me. Boy, that's wonderful. Them love one another. And he said, mom will slap daddy before they get back down yard by McDonald's. Amen. Things ain't like they seem, you see. I've been wondering why if they love one another so much and talk like they love God so much, they didn't have no Holy Ghost about them. Now, you can talk on Sunday morning without the Holy Spirit. You can sing without the Holy Spirit. But you can't touch sinners if God's not with you. If you're living like the devil, you can't testify in the Holy Spirit. I'm more impressed all the time with what Jesus said when He said, few there be that find it. John said, he's that fellow that had his head laying on the Lord's breast all the time. He had heard Jesus' heart beat, and I don't think any of them other boys had ever heard the Lord's heart beat. But he'd lay his head on the Lord's breast and hear his heart beat. Her head laying on the world's breast.
You know more about it than you do the movement of God. But boy, I'm going to tell you, when that net began to come in full, that same ear that had heard the heartbeat of God said, "That's the Lord." Here I am, 60 years old, I believe. God told me he's 72. I've been preaching 36 years, been preaching 46 years. Well, I've heard a lot of things down through the hills and valleys and churches. Never heard anything like that voice on the shore. It stopped me. It stopped me from doing bad things. John couldn't sleep, rolled my bed, worrying about my church and asking God to help me and be in them motel rooms late in the night. Long about 2 o'clock or 3 in the morning, I'd hear that voice on the shore. Next thing I know, it'd be daylight and I'd be rested. I told him, I guess, up there the other night, that I was in the motel room in Lawrenceburg, Tennessee. I go to sleep at night, and I'll sleep an hour and a half, and then I'll be awake for an hour, and then I'll sleep about 3 hours, and then wake up and be awake for an hour and a half or so, and get up, and me and God will picnic together. That first sleep and woke up, and I said, "Lord, I just love you." And he said, "Please me if you'd get up in the bed and stand up and sing Amazing Grace." Said, "Lord, folks, there's a lot of folks around here is still a frolicking. I mean, they'd hear me, maybe call the law on me." And I said, I don't want to do that." Boy, I felt the presence of God move away from me. Tried to sleep and couldn't sleep. I'll just make a long story short for you. About 2:30, there's a 57-year-old man standing up over in the motel room in the bed, singing "Amazing Grace." How sweet the sound! "Since it felt so good, I sung 'How Firm a Foundation.'" Amen. I heard the voice on the shore. Sunday school teacher, I'd not do much teaching till I heard from the shore. Preacher, if I thought God had called me to preach and I never heard the voice on the shore, I'd lay her down. Hear me, Mama. We read too many books on child rearing. Your mama used to listen to the voice on the shore and raise them children of fear and the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. There it is with you tonight. Sometimes the Lord will knock on my heart about 3:30, and there I'll have that second wake up. Boy, the Lord will knock on my heart and say, "I need to talk to you." And I say, "I need to talk to you worse than you need to talk to me." Go in the living room, sit down in the dark. I got just a little bitty old night light that burns. And I'll just go sit in the dark. And boy, whispers things in my soul that helps me along the journey. The boy out yonder tonight, astray from God, he's going to get married Saturday afternoon. Marrying in the Church of Christ. God's had some conversations about that. He asked me if I'd help. Didn't ask me if I'd come. But I'm a-going. You say, "Preacher, I'd never have nothing to do with a wedding in the Church of Christ." I might have said that 10 years ago. But I'm a-going. Wallet and built big buildings and built fine homes and Amen. Got better clothes and better cars, but we don't have nothing to show for God.
Bless him, Lord.
How long has it been since you took you a good running fit?
Amen.
Oh, you say, "Preacher, you're going off on a limb now." No, I'm going right down the road. I got saved. When I got saved, I didn't believe in shouting. I just, like maybe some of you, I didn't even believe in it. But before I got back to the house, I was a-doing it. I've been a-doing it ever since and ain't ashamed of it.
Amen.
Any meat? Peter put his fisher's coat on, jumped in the water, headed for God. That's twice I know I've recorded. He got caught out under the ball. But when God come around, he went to where Jesus was.
Amen.
You may not be tonight where you ought to be, but the Lord's standing on the shore. And I believe while I've been preaching, he spoke to somebody's heart. It'd be good for you to get out of the old rotten boat you're in and get to God.
Amen. Amen.
On the shore, I guess they thought this. They're so important. They got up there, and lo and behold, the Lord had breakfast ready. Oh, that's an amazing thing. He owned that whole sea and all them fish. You know what I believe he done? I believe this. Went up there and said, I need these. I got to 7 of these boys with me, and I make 8. Said, if 2 good fish apiece would probably be enough. About 16 of you fish come here. And said, don't everybody come at once. You say you believe that? Yeah,
yes,
I do.
Amen.
They his. You think God can't work with sinners?
Amen.
I've got away a long time ago. I got away from psychology. I don't have to use tricks and gimmicks to get sinners to come. If I preach, the Holy Ghost will pull who he wants.
Amen. Amen.
Well, I've preached longer than I aim to. The boys got in the water and got to Jesus. Come in a little old boat. And got there and bread and fish on the fire. Cooked absolutely perfect. Bible don't say that. Don't have to. God cooked it. It's perfect.
Amen.
If God does it, it's always exactly right.
Amen. Right.
You might gripe about it a little bit. You might not like the way he runs the service on Sunday morning, but if he is in it, it is exactly right.
Amen.
Boy, I've preached and I thought, Lord God, if I ever did make a gum, I made it this morning, but as a trying to follow God, had more response out of that when I thought I'd done good. Just let the Holy Ghost have his way.
Amen.
And the Lord so good, he said, boys, bring him fish off caught. You reckon he needed them? And he didn't already have enough? So good to them fellas, he said, I want y'all to have a part of this. If I look right here at me tonight, he don't have to have you. He just lets you get in and have a part to bring honor and glory to his name and to lift you up when you don't deserve it. Thank God for letting me have a part.
Amen. Amen.
Has he paid you what he owes you? I mean, you've been doing so good. Has he paid you what he owes you? I want to ask you something. He's charged you to have children, raising children, to guide that home, to be keepers at home. How you doing?
Amen.
Sir, he's charged you to be the head of your house,
right.
Be the spiritual leader.
Yes.
Get God down on your family and get your family to God. To make the living for the family, to be a man. How you doing? Have you any meat? What God left you here to do? Have you gone somewhere else and started back in that old ornery life? Some of you men think it's macho to show how rough you can be around the house when you ought to be being a godly daddy. Have you any meat?
Amen.
Oh, you mamas. God has charged you to sing to them young'uns and back your husband and honor him and obey him. God's plan.
Yes.
Have you any meat? How is it with you tonight, preacher? You on God's plan, on God's time, doing God's will? Are you run off down the road somewhere fishing again?
Bless him, Lord.
Any meat? The voice on the shore knows where you are. He's conscious of whether you're fishing or whether you're where he puts you. I'd consider long tonight about whether or not I had any meat. Everybody stand, please. This is yours, my brother.
Sit down. Let it be in order for me to open this altar tonight. God's dealing with your hearts. You need to come. Since Patty plays, I just want to ask you, with nothing but the Spirit of God dealing with you, do you need to come? Get a fresh voice from that shoreline. Anybody else? Don't keep standing there. God's speaking to your heart. You just about pop. You ought to come on. That's right. Tonight, I thank you for the message. I thank you for the challenge to our heart. And God, I pray for these that have come that you'd help them. And Lord, there are others that the look on their face deceives their purpose tonight. It's evident that something's wrong. Lord, I pray before this night's over that they tune their ears into a different sound. God, help us tonight. We've come a long way, done a lot of work to get this far, and then stop on you. God, help us tonight to open our heart's door. God, just whatever you want, wherever you want, whenever you want. Oh God, you just move and have your way. I thank you tonight, Lord.